And we got Sweet 16 coming up 48 hours from now. It'll be going on. Jordan Cornett, good to have him on. We talked to him right before the tournament started. Of course, from Campus Insiders and CBS Sports College Basketball Reporter. Jordan, great to have you on again. It's Grant and Doug. How are you?
Grant, Doug, thanks for having me back, guys. I don't have the same beat in my step as I did when I talked to you last week. My bracket was perfect going into it. A little bit different story now.
Yeah, it's. I know you had Notre Dame going to the Final Four, so I know one part of your bracket's
thanks
not
for
good.
Reminding me about that. I appreciate it.
That's right. What's been the biggest surprise so far, in your opinion?
Well, I think one of the things that has always been, you know, one of those formulas for me picking a bracket is how teams have finished down the stretch. And even if they had lost early in their conference tournament, I at least looked at how they played going away down the end of the season. Was this a team who ran out of steam and was left for dead? And usually I try to pick those teams playing their best basketball at that time. Well, you look at a couple of these teams, and they were playing their worst basketball, and yet they're still alive. I mean, Wisconsin was one of those teams who was limping to the finish. Xavier barely made the tournament with how badly they played down the stretch, having lost a few of their guys. South Carolina, the darling of this tournament, Frank Martin, the former bouncer, former high school coach, now led his team past legendary Coach K, another team that truly struggled. So I think what's most fascinating to me is there's no real formula for this thing. It's just a matter of something you can't measure when you're picking these things is the size of the heart with a team. And I'm not really using cliche there. I mean it. These teams in the waning seconds when it's winning time, and Doug, you know this from when you played, some guys just have it and some guys just don't. You've seen this with some of these guys. In the game time moments when it means the most, they've delivered, and that's the reason why they're here.
When you talk about that immeasurable, speak to Michigan and what they've kind of went through and where they're at now facing an Oregon team. Man, just all of a sudden galvanized, and here they are, Sweet 16 bound.
Yeah, I wonder how much you can read into that near-death experience they had on that plane heading to the Big Ten tournament that goes off the runway. And, you know, the flight attendants are screaming. These 18 to 22-year-olds see their lives flash before their eyes. And they get back, fly out there to Washington, D.C., and it's a rebirth. It's their best basketball, and they're lighting up the scoreboard. They're playing with a free mind. And I don't know if that's that immeasurable, intangible in that regard, but this team has discovered a new identity. And, you know, you listen to a guy like Charles Barkley, who everybody complains that he's sitting up there in the studio talking about college basketball. I happen to love his insight on this thing. I think it's refreshingly different. Took a lot of heat for saying Derek Walton is one of the best players in the nation, and that's not accurate. But what is accurate is Derek Walton has played in these last 10 games like one of the best players in the nation. This is a guy who's elevated his game. It's what it's about. Their point guard has given them a boost. He's got, like the famous Bill Raftery says, he's got those puppies in line. They're playing great basketball because the point guard is playing like one of the best in the nation. And everybody around him is elevating their game as well.
And then we get to, you know, you look at the number one seeds that are going to be playing on Thursday. Gonzaga taking on West Virginia. KU taking on Purdue. We talk a lot about Kansas because at the beginning of the tournament, people said, yeah, they're really good. But will they be able to withstand if they're playing a big team? Would they have enough down low? That has not been an issue at all. Obviously, they played UC Davis. No one thought that was going to be a battle. No problem destroying Michigan State. How much do you like this team right now? With you know, can they go four wins in a row and win a national title? What do you think is going to be their biggest obstacle?
Well, I'll tell you, Grant, this is the one team that's made me look like I semi-know what I'm talking about with my bracket. I have them as my national champion. And I think in the first few rounds, they have played as such. You got a taste for the fact that you don't have to have the complete team. You don't have to have the big fellas down low who provide the scoring punch and then great guards who also fill it up. You just have to have elite players at some of those positions. And you look at Kansas, this team has elite players at the most important positions. And that being the guards. Guard play wins in March. Frank Mason III is that guy that can put the team on his back, but it's been the evolution and development of Josh Jackson. This is a guy that you guys will be seeing coming out there to that Sacramento area playing at a high level for some team at some point because he is, in my opinion, he should be the top pick of this draft. He's a special talent.
Yeah, when they go up against Caleb Swanigan from Purdue, that's been an area that people have said KU may have a problem with big men on the inside. How do you think they match up against Big Swanigan?
Well, Landon Lucas has to stay eligible in the game. He can't get in foul trouble. He has to play clean ball for 40 minutes. He is their only line of defense, their only rim protector, their only guy with true size. As much as I love Frank Mason and Josh Jackson, even Devontae Graham, you got to have a presence down low. And Landon Lucas was able to play somewhat productive basketball against Michigan State. Nick Ward for Michigan State is the nation's best offensive rebounder. They were able to limit him, keep him at bay. It's going to be the same challenge. Look, Caleb Swanigan could be one of the top three players in this college basketball class. Reminds me of a very poor man's, in fact, maybe homeless, Karl Malone, in terms of what he brings. But he's got that kind of game to him. Mm-hmm. So he's going to get hits. But is Isaac Haas, the other seven-footer, going to have an impact on this game? Will Kansas be able to finish at the rim? Those are things that remain to be seen, but it all starts with Landon Lucas staying out of foul trouble for Kansas.
So much talk on the officiating. And, you know, listen, everyone talks about the officials in every sport, but it did look really poor for the NCAA this weekend. What are your thoughts on what we witnessed in rounds one and two in that regard?
Well, you know, it reminds me of one of my favorite movies ever, Shawshank Redemption, where when the guy Andy Dufresne goes into prison and he asks the guy what he's in for, and everybody laughs and they say, I didn't do it. And that's always what you feel like goes on with officials. Oh, they made a call. You didn't foul him. You didn't do it. But with this case, I do side with the players and the fans, and I hate to put the onus on officials in the outcome of some of these games. But, I mean, that Northwestern game, you look at it, and they might have won that game against Gonzaga had you made the goaltending call. And then you compound it by, yes, Chris Collins should have stepped on the floor and got all colorful and animated. But then the official who misses the call tees him up, and that totally deflates the momentum of what could have been an upset there. You saw it with Arkansas against North Carolina, a blown charge call that could have changed the whole face of that game. There's been a lot of calls, the flagrant foul against Seton Hall against Arkansas. You've seen so many calls that not have just been missed, but they've wildly impacted the outcome of these games and the punctuation of the finish that has been what's so tough to swallow in it. It feels like these guys are auditioning, they play minor roles, and they're becoming the stars of the play, and that's what I don't like. They're like, officials remind me of an ex-girlfriend. You don't need to see them to know they exist. I feel like you're seeing a lot of these officials right now.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a problem with the technical foul, though. Was it the worst call of the first two rounds of the tournament? Yes, but, I mean, the coach can't do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and Grant, I'm 100% with you. I totally agree. I feel like a coach has to know better. At least you got to know who you are.
Right.
Chris Collins has been doing it for 3 years. He's not Coach K.
Right.
He's not Roy Williams.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're that official that makes that call, are you then going to bring more spotlight to it by teeing up a guy who's clearly reacting to it? That's what I have issue with.
Yeah. When you talk about that game, Gonzaga-Northwestern, when Gonzaga moves on, they play a West Virginia team that defensively Huggins has them getting after you. I don't know, being a WCC guy myself, if Gonzaga can handle that pressure. Did you have them going to the Final Four, and do you have them moving past West Virginia?
Well, I don't. I do have that Notre Dame team. I picked with my heart, which I regret. I had a Notre Dame-Gonzaga matchup here. Seeing that Gonzaga or Notre Dame didn't make it, it is Gonzaga and West Virginia now. I moved towards liking Arizona to move out of this bracket.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the Gonzaga-West Virginia matchup, Doug, that you're asking about, talked to Bob Huggins today, a friend of mine, and he really feels like this is a favorable matchup for him. He knows that this is a talented team. Unlike a lot of people on the other coast out here on the East Coast and in the Midwest, they don't stay up late to watch Gonzaga. I have to be one of the few that does. I know what they bring. But you listen to Coach Bray in his post-game comments when they lost to this West Virginia team, and what resonated with me, he said, we lost to some grown men. And that's exactly what this West Virginia team is. They are NBA bodies. Not all of them have the NBA game.
Right.
But they are tough-minded guys that compete, that play a relentless pace. It's press Virginia because they guard you for 94 feet. They disrupt the opposition. They make it uncomfortable for them to handle the basketball. But now they're scoring it. Now they're taking it at your chin. They're playing downhill. They're knocking down shots. And all of a sudden, West Virginia looks like they check all the boxes. So that's a really fascinating team to watch. I like them to knock off the one seed Gonzaga.
And as we sit here with 16 teams left, realistically, how many of these 16 teams could you see standing with the trophy over their head?
I would say, as I look at it, four of these teams have that potential. And I think the ones that really stick out to me are Kansas, Carolina, maybe UCLA. And, you know, it's hard on that East bracket. I mean, there's really it's hard to pick a team from the East and say there's one out there. So I might limit myself to three teams.
Yeah, Doug and I were talking about this. You know, with each passing day and or episode, I'm getting more and more leery about the possibility of Lonzo Ball. You know, his dad, LeVar, you know, just tore apart the high school coach of his other son. And I'm just wondering how much of a distraction and or issue, and it's an unknown. I think you and I and Doug talked about this when we had you on before the tournament started. But this guy, LeVar Ball, he just can't help himself, can he?
Yeah, and Doug, I know you kind of sided with me last time when I said I kind of like what he's doing here. And much like my brackets looked great last week.
Right, this last comment.
LeVar Ball. Yeah, so LeVar Ball, but now LeVar kind of looks like my brackets. He's starting to mess up a little bit.
I understand.
And I just feel like the comments about the high school coach, he's talking about LeBron's kids. Like, he's starting to now take it where he's got too much momentum. The chest is puffed out. The guy's really feeling himself, and he's turning into a guy who, I mean, you want around you about as much as Grant probably wants DeMarcus Cousins next to him in Sacramento. I mean, it's kind of like that whole feel. Like, I can't side with what he's doing now. He's gone off the reservation a little bit.
Yeah. I'm going to be in New Orleans next Friday night doing the game. So if you want to come protect me, you can come. You can come meet me in New Orleans. All right.
Man, I don't know. If I'm drinking some of those hurricanes, I might not be much help for you.
That's beautiful.
You know, the UCLA-Kentucky matchup, it's going to have Ball versus De'Aaron Fox, and that is point guards that are just absolutely special. Do you think that whoever wins that battle ultimately wins the game?
Yeah, I do think that could come down to the guard spot. Absolutely. I think De'Aaron Fox, you know, he's made a commitment to defending as well, and to take it away from, yes, I do think that'll be the focal point of this matchup. But what's also fascinating to me, the theme of Kentucky's willingness to defend and commitment to doing that now. It looks like there's five Bill Christies on the floor and how they're locking you up and making it tough for the opposition to score. And yet, I'll tell you this, guys, watching Kentucky this season, that's been their Achilles heel, failure to guard. And this is a team that you look at and you say, how are these five guys on the floor not elite defenders?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. It's the same thing that's plagued Kentucky year in and year out when you don't want to be a believer in them until March. These are blue-chip recruits that have one thing on their mind. They'll go to school for their freshman season. They'll even excel in the classroom. But after this, they're on their way to the next level. So in January, you're not getting De'Aaron Fox or Malik Monk to dig in and get the stance and guard on a Tuesday night against a bottom-seller team in the SEC. You're not getting them to do it in February. But when you are getting those guys to dive for the loose ball, offer their body up to the basketball gods, take a charge, make that extra pass, dive on the floor, do all those things, they're doing it in March because this is the last audition for the next level. This is what they came up watching, is the one shiny moment opportunity, the chance to hang a banner and be legends like those guys before, like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, like Anthony Davis. And now you're seeing the willingness to put it into overdrive. That's why Kentucky's dangerous right now. I like Kentucky in that matchup.
Jordan, do you think some people make too much of where these games are played? You know, people are talking about Kansas. They're going to be playing in Kansas City. Now, in all fairness, they just lost there, you know, at the start of the tournament when Jackson was suspended. But do we make too much out of that? They're the number one seed. That's part of being the number one seed. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't think it's overwhelmingly a deciding factor, but I look at South Carolina, who played in Greenville, South Carolina, against Duke. And I do think Duke was extra tight coming into that matchup because they almost felt like, oh, man, we really have to win this game. There's some building momentum and pressure on us because it's in the backyard of the Gamecocks. This isn't our home floor. Everyone's going to be going against us. I do think the sixth man helped for a few baskets or helped at least elevate the performance of that South Carolina team. And what's interesting, if it wasn't for the law with the bathrooms being failed to pass in North Carolina, that game would have been played in Greensboro. That game versus Duke would have been in North Carolina,
right,
in Duke's backyard. And I do think if that were the case, Duke wins that game. So in certain circumstances, I do think that can help an underdog get it done. Kansas is Kansas. And I do think if you got Kansas playing in their backyard, that does make it infinitely tougher because now you got to knock off a top dog with all their people in the stands going at you. It's tough because there's already pressure on you in elimination basketball.
Well, now you have a chance to redeem yourself right here. Give me now you know who the Sweet 16 is. Give me your Final Four.
Oh, man. I'm going to go. this is challenging. I like Arizona. I'm staying with Butler coming out of the South. I'm riding with Kansas coming out of the Midwest. And I think I'm going to do something crazy here. I think I'm going to pick Wisconsin to come out of the East. it's a team that's just shown they're unflappable. They've got guys who've made the runs before that have been to Final Fours, and Nigel Hayes and Bronson Koenig. I think they're playing at a high level. They got a guy who's reliable to score down low in Ethan Happ. I like this team. I can't believe I'm picking the 8th seed, the team that was a middle-of-the-pack team in the Big Ten this year to get to the Final Four, but here I am.
Huh?
I don't know if I'm going to redeem myself, but I kind of feel good as I'm saying it right now.
And you got Butler beating UNC coming up and then winning.
Oh, that's easy money, guys. Butler's going to run them off the floor, I'm telling you.
Wow. That Final Four, you know, for rating sounds like no, I'm not even going to give any names. Yeah, NBA,
right?
I'll get myself in trouble. But not as glamorous as you might have thought in the beginning. I'll say that.
Hey, Jordan.
Yeah, and that's one of the unfortunate things is it doesn't have the brand names. College basketball may take a hit on that front, but it is what it is, guys.
Hey, Jordan, great stuff. Really enjoy having you on again. Thank you very much for making the time.
Grant, Doug, I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Soon.
All right, be well. So he just gave us his new Final Four. That's Jordan Cornette, Campus Insider, CBS Sports College Basketball Reporter.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to get him back on when the Final Four comes. So we'll see how right he was. Arizona, Butler, Kansas, Wisconsin.
He said Butler going to beat North Carolina, no problem.
Yeah, no.
He said easy money.
Easy money? I don't know. That's going to be an interesting
matchup.
Didn't
he say that?
Yeah, he did. He did. So if you got a little coin and you're thinking about putting it down there, Grant. Nah.
I don't bet on sports.
I don't either.
So. You know?
Yeah.
Probably why I'm so calm when I'm watching the games.
You have no dog in the race, right?
I don't. Maybe I should put a little money on the USA-Japan tonight. It would force me to watch the game.
I doubt you'd even still tune in. You just tweet what's happening.
I have no interest.
Hey, well, I'm going to tweet you, Grant.
I'm sorry. I have no interest.
Well, you're not the only one. It seems like there are quite a few. Now, would you have interest if the best of the best were playing?
Yeah, I'd have a lot more interest, that's for sure.
Well, I think that may be ultimately where it ends up going. I mean, because they talk about helping baseball in America. This is how the rest of the world is helping baseball. They see their best players playing on the stage. Japan's all tuned in. Puerto Rico's all tuned in.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Netherlands. The United States, not so much because you don't have your best players playing.
And that means something to me. I just, to me, for a lot of the countries around the world, this is their World Series. For the United States, it's an exhibition. And I know the players that play for the United States would tell me I'm crazy and I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's the way this country perceives the World Baseball Classic. You think anybody's going to lose sleep if the United States loses to Japan tonight? They're not going to care.
No, but when if you do get those players in there and that caring becomes something, all of a sudden guys or parents are sitting down with their sons and daughters, and all of a sudden that is
okay.
What's going to rejuvenate.
All right, so let me ask you this. The United States, hypothetically, let's say they had Madison Bumgarner on the hill tonight or Clayton Kershaw. They're going to be on a 40-pitch count, so basically they're going to pitch 2 to 3 innings, and then they're going to be pulled because their teams are not going to allow them to go that long. And so I don't see a solution where you're ever going to get the best of what this country has to offer, because the World Baseball Classic, to me, it is all about pitching. And if the United States does not have their best pitchers, how can they be competitive?
So what
now,
you
when
have,
I mean competitive, they have been competitive. I mean, they're in the semifinals, but I mean winning it all. I don't like the way it's set up for the United States.
Yeah. So what you have is you have the All-Star game. You got guys going in 40 pitch count, and somebody else who's absolutely awesome. Bumgarner starting, Kershaw's coming in on his back, and so on and so forth. But you're getting the absolute best. So yeah, maybe you are on 40 pitch count.
I bet you the ratings for this game tonight are horrible. I bet you most people in America don't even know the game's being played. And you have to be a hardcore baseball fan, in my opinion, to be watching this game tonight and following it.
Yes, you are right, except for Taro, because he's out there someplace come on, Grant.
Taro will be with his love and every support rooting for Japan. Good for him.
Yes. You know what, though? Maybe you get to USA Puerto Rico and you get a little momentum going. It's the final. Who knows? Someone might tune into the championship game. Spread the word. Get on Twitter.
What night would that be? See, we don't even know when the games are.
It's a damn shame.
World Baseball Classic.
You're killing me.
United States and Japan.
Well, you know what?
I'll tell you right now. I go ahead.
It's kind of like in America. the World Series. I mean, except for your real hardcore baseball fans, not until the playoffs get kicked in does it really get amped up. All of a sudden, when the playoffs start in baseball, I'm tuned in. I won't watch every single game of the regular season, but when the playoffs start, I'm tuned in because it's a different vibe. And so that kind of goes hand in hand with the World Baseball Classic. Maybe it gets to the championship game and some people get interested.
All right, 339-1140. If you care about the World Baseball Classic, give us a call. 339-1140, 800-920-1140.
That's not going to happen, Grant. Let's ask people to talk about something else.
I'm just asking a question.
I know. Hey, if you want to talk about the NBA draft coming up, the NFL draft coming up, the Raiders moving to Las Vegas, Kings tomorrow night.
Or the United States and Japan.
Don't call up with that one because we don't know. What time does the game start tonight, Grant?
It starts at 6 o'clock.
Oh, well, you knew that. Did you find out who the starting pitcher was?
Are you going to watch the Golden State-Dallas game on NBA League Pass, which we'll have on in front of us, or do you want to watch the United States and Japan?
I'm watching the game.
Which game?
The game.
Is World Baseball Classic?
No, that is not the game. It's 525, time for RC Country Hobbies, more than toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the family, 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento. NBA, Grant, that is what I was saying.
What happens if there's a good hockey game going on?
We can tune back and forth because hockey, you're liable to, it's like watching NASCAR. You know, NASCAR, they have some serious stuff going on there, fisticuffs and accidents and all types of stuff. In NHL, you're liable to see two guys square off.
All right, so we've got great stuff going on. The World Baseball Classic.
Don't do it, Grant.
It's the United States.
Don't do it.
And it's Japan. And it's coming up in 35 minutes at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, well, Chavez Ravine, at least it's going to be in a nice spot. That's nice.
I'd rather have the game in Japan because then maybe we could have put our dibs in to go over there. We get a little business class ticket, fly on Japan Airlines, land in Narita, hang out in Japan, in Tokyo for a couple days. That would have made me more interested in the damn thing.
Japan Airlines nice?
Love Japan Airlines. All right, we'll be right back. This is Sports 1140. Any international carrier is the way to go. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. Yeah, I forgot the big, strong Tanner Roark is on the hill for the United States tonight.
Come on, Grant. Why are you giving Tanner a bad time,
man? I'm not giving him a bad time. I'm just telling you who's pitching.
Tanner, Bad News Bears. Hell of a character.
No, he's better than he's. You know, he's a major league pitcher. He's with the Nats. And
top 100?
Oh, yeah, he's a top 100 pitcher
okay,
in baseball.
Okay, well, he's legit. Come on, Grant. Give a man some credit.
I would say he's probably, among starting pitchers, and I'm doing this off the top of my head without anything in front of me,
gotcha,
probably 50 on the list.
Okay, 50. That'll work. So, I mean,
you know what? Again, maybe let me put it this way. You said top 100. He is definitely top 100. Can I say he's top 50? But he's certainly top 100.
Okay, so he should be willing and dealing tonight. See, all this, it's getting you. You want to tune in, don't you? You want to tune in just to see, don't you?
You know, he had a good year last year.
See? You're
I would say he's probably, honestly, I'm doing a sweater. I'd say he's probably 50.
Okay.
All right?
That's legitimate. I mean, because how many teams are there?
He had a good ERA last year. He was, let me look up his, he was 16-10 last year with an ERA of 2.83. So let me ask you this.
Of 32 teams.
So let me ask you this. So you've got, would you rather have him throwing tonight, or would you rather have Madison Bumgarner on the hill? Would you rather have Clayton Kershaw on the hill? And I can name 30 other pitchers that you would much rather have on, regardless of where he is on the standings, correct?
Not only would I rather have him on, but you'd rather see them do it. There's something to be said about that. You want to watch Bumgarner get out, look and do his deal and, you know, stare people down and try to punk some folks. That's his thing.
All right, so out of 30, all right, so if you're looking at 30 teams, if you could take a pitcher off every team, Tanner Roark wouldn't be in the top half.
Okay.
For pitching this big game.
So he's your
third.
Don't eat while you're on the radio. No, I feel like I'm talking to DeMarcus Cousins now. I had to scold him for eating candy during an interview that I had with him when he was in studio with me. I had to scold him.
What kind of candy?
The sour worms, the
Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, sour. And I'm like, DeMarcus.
My son likes those.
And he was, this was him. And I go, and I'm, no, this
well,
is
that
him.
Was a
no,
piece
no,
of ice.
No, he's ripping. This is what it sounds like. I go, hey, that's coming on over the microphone. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Okay. Then he was like this.
Leave cuz alone.
Let me finish this story. So then we go to the commercial break. I go, hey, DeMarcus, listen, man, that's really not good when you're on the radio to be eating and making all that noise. He goes, oh, man, I'm sorry, my bad. I go, yeah, it's no problem. I said, I'm just, you know, it's just not, it comes over the radio and it doesn't sound good. Okay, man. All right, so we come back on. Hey, it's Grant Napier.
Was he sitting here?
Well, we were in the studio across the hallway.
Okay.
So he was sitting in another chair. So we come back and go, hey, it's Grant Napier, DeMarcus Cousins. And if you want to call in and ask a question, it's 339-1140-800. I go, DeMarcus. I go, wait till we go to the next commercial break. Oh, man, I'm sorry. And I'm like, I'm not kidding you. I'm not exaggerating.
Come on, man.
No, I'm not kidding you. It's unbelievable.
Leave cuz alone, man.
I'm not. I'm just telling you, don't eat when you're on the radio.
Goodness gracious, man. You know what? I don't know sometimes, Grant. That's what I've come to find out. Just being on the air with you, sometimes I don't know.
All right, let's get to Eric. Hello, Eric. How are you?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
I'm glad to hear you're not eating, Eric.
Man, I had to put it down after that one. Couldn't come on and do
no.
that. I had a quick question for you, though, Grant. I consider myself arguably probably the second biggest Yankees fan in SAC next to yourself.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly WC or WBC news, but I wanted to know what you thought about Didi going down, obviously.
It's awful.
Especially out for a month. Yeah, it's awful. I mean, I thought he was poised to position himself as a top five shortstop in the AL this year, just with what he's been building on. But the question I had is, what do you think about Cashman potentially keeping the training wheels on Gleyber Torres and going with somebody else in that absence? Do you think that was a good move or not?
You know, again, we're talking about Ronald Torres, and it'd be very interesting to see. He's having a very good spring. And again, he would be a stopgap type of a guy until Didi can come back. You know, I'm hearing that's probably not going to happen. But I think the most likely would be to move Starlin Castro to short. That's what that's what I think they'll do.
Who would you put at second?
That's
a
great question.
Ronald Torres or Rhett Snyder? I mean,
it's a great question. I don't know, but if I had to guess, I would think that Castro is probably going to play a lot of short in the first month of the season.
How bad is Didi hurt?
They think he's going to be out until the end of April, so basically a month.
A month.
That's a big hit. All right. Yeah, I just wanted to see what you thought. I mean, because I've watched every at-bat this spring of this kid,
yeah.
Torres, and he looks like the real deal, man. His instincts are for real.
Isn't when you talk about Torres, isn't he 20 years old?
Yeah, he's 19. I think he just turned 20 this summer. But, I mean, he's up there, man, and he looks like nothing fazes.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, though, and again, you seem to know this more than I do. He's never played above single-A ball, though, has he?
No, he has not. Yeah, no, this last Arizona Fall League was the first time he got, like, real major league pitching. But he won the MVP, and, you know, he's up here against some big league arms this spring. And boy, he's hitting, man. He's hitting for contact. He's got a little bit of power. He's running the base as well.
See, there's two Torres. So I was talking about Ronald Torres, but you're talking about Gleyber Torres.
I'm talking about Gleyber. Yeah,
yeah, no, Gleyber, because he's not even. I mean, he's never even played. He's never even made it at a single A. You're going to take a kid that's never played at a single A, and you're going to have him start opening day shortstop for the Yankees at age 20.
Put him in pinstripes, baby. Let's go. Let's see it happen.
Thank you, man. I appreciate the call.
I appreciate you guys. Take care.
All right, take care. Let's get to Jeff. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
I have a comment and a question. First of all, you were asking about any casual fans who are going to watch the WBC, and I'm not a diehard, and frankly, can't name half the players who are on the team or recognize half the players on the team. And I agree that it'd be a lot better if we had all the all-stars. But going to T-ball practice with my kid tonight, we're going to come home and watch Buster Posey catch afterwards, and still looking forward to it.
There you go, Jeff.
Have fun, so, man. Enjoy the game.
Well, hopefully. We'll see how they play tonight.
All right. Thank you for the call. Yeah, anything else?
Yeah,
my question was, you were talking about Lonzo Ball a little bit earlier and being scared off by his dad. Do you really think that any GMs are, based on what's happened so far, any GMs are going to be scared off and say the Kings are picking 6 or 7? And
I don't think scared off, but I think nervous. There's a difference. I think that there would have to be some trepidation and nervousness. I don't think it would scare a team from taking Lonzo Ball, but I think there would be some nervousness that's attached to it. That's how I feel.
Jeff, you got to think that initially the first comments were a bit of hyperbole. It was just, you know, you're talking, you believe in your son. But these ones, and I kind of went back and forth. I was on one side, and then I heard him and saw an interview, and I kind of came over on his side, and I understood what he was saying. But these last ones, when you're referencing a coach, and if you don't get along with him, then his boy isn't going to play properly or be engaged. Those, even though you're talking high school, it just makes you a little apprehensive. So I would say that they're going to probably dig a little deeper. I wouldn't use the word scared either.
And I would also think that the agent for Lonzo Ball, and I don't even know who that will be, I think it's going to be the agent's job to control LaVar Ball, more so than the general manager of any team or the coach. It's going to be dependent on the agent to look out in the best interest for his client, Lonzo. Doug?
Yes, it's 5:42, time for RC Country Hobbies, more than toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the family, 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacktown.
We'll come right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK.
Oh, boy.
Hey, don't forget that tomorrow the Kings take on the Milwaukee Bucks. And guess what? The place to be is at Malt and Mash, 715 K Street in Sacramento. The Kings and the Bucks join the KHDK Street Team from 5:30 to 7:30 and win awesome prizes. Well, I know one thing. Robin Lopez will not be playing in the next game for the Chicago Bulls.
And neither will Serge Ibaka.
And neither will Serge Ibaka, who just threw right-hand roundhouses.
And if you're going to swing, Grant hit.
Yeah, they're going to be suspended for at least one game. Toronto's playing Chicago. They'll be ejected from this game. Both will receive flagrant twos. They'll be out, Lopez and Ibaka, and they'll be suspended for the next game. I wasn't even aware of this. We were talking about LaVar Ball earlier.
Yeah.
I wasn't even aware that he went on a...
I wasn't either.
a podcast.
Yes.
Or some, I don't even know. And compared LeBron James' kids to what they would be with their father, blah, blah, blah. LeBron James said to LaVar Ball, and he said it on the campus of UCLA where Cleveland was practicing.
Yep.
Keep my kid's name out of your mouth. Keep my family out of your mouth. This is dad to dad. It's a problem now. How about that?
How about that? I mean, LaVar is just... He's going to get himself in trouble, which actually is going to get down to the kids. And when I say trouble, it's meaning that you're going to build up a crap storm that you're going to eventually have to deal with in some shape or form or fashion. You don't want to, you know, talking about one-on-one with Michael Jordan is one thing. Talking about one-on-one and all these different things, you're dealing with the best player in the world right now and just chill.
Yep, just chill.
Your son is doing great things.
And just chill should be the message in Toronto and Chicago. The game, 88-72 Chicago. This was the most violent act that we've seen in the NBA on the court this year. Those were big-time right-hand punches. And I'll tell you, Lopez right-hand punch barely, and I mean by a quarter of an inch, missed hitting Serge Ibaka right flush on the face. Ibaka then threw a right hand that grazed the head of Lopez.
Yeah, and luckily neither one of them connected.
Yes,
but now you're going to get paid just like you touched each other. I mean, you're going to get
anytime
fined.
You throw a punch, even if you land or don't land, it's an automatic suspension.
Exactly, and boy, oh boy, it's getting physical. Well, we're getting closer, even though Chicago's not in the playoffs. We're getting closer to playoff basketball. Things get a little chippy out there, Grant, and I will say Chicago-Toronto just got extremely chippy.
Boy, did they ever. Man, Doug and I are watching a replay. A ball went in, and Ibaka gave Lopez a hip check. Lopez then knocked the ball out of Ibaka's hand, and then Lopez threw a right hand. Ibaka exchanged a right hand blow that grazed the back and side of Lopez. And it was, I'm telling you, it was they were big time roundhouse rights. These weren't just a little jab. That was a full windup of a punch.
Oh, it absolutely was. And it looked like the initial contact was, you know, just big men battling. And then it looked like Serge Ibaka maybe gave him a little elbow to the middle of the
back. And
there
may be some history between those two that we don't know.
This is true, because it didn't look like enough contact to cause what you just saw right there, but I think both have been ejected.
Well, they have 100% been ejected. There's no doubt about that. Lopez with 12 points in this game. Ibaka with 16, 4 rebounds for Lopez, 6 for Ibaka. And this game being delayed a little bit while Lopez is walking off the floor at the Air Canada Center. 72, the Bulls in Toronto as Ibaka now leaves the floor.
Hopefully no one runs around and meets him in the back.
Boy.
Let's just hope not.
Who would do something like that? You know?
I don't know.
Who would do anything like that?
I don't think you should never do that stuff, Grant. Crazy stuff. You got fathers talking and guys throwing punches and U.S., Japan. There's a lot going on right now, Grant. DD's out.
Don't get me started, man.
I apologize.
That's not fair.
I take that back.
Yeah. DD is out, isn't he?
He's out for that's a long time, Grant. I mean, what did he do, by the way?
Where are they playing this game at?
That's Toronto. See, that's the original name was the Huskies.
Really? How long ago was that?
I don't know. I want to say 46, 40. Whoa, Chris! Woo-hoo-hoo, my boy! Did you hear that?
You know why?
That's spot on.
That's because his favorite soccer team was called the Huskies.
It doesn't
so
even matter.
Everything associated with the Huskies, he knows.
Look, as soon as it was said, he was ready. I was going to say in the 40s, Chris in my ear, 46, 47. Way to go, Verlon!
And you know what? I'll make a prediction right now. I bet you in the province of Ontario, there are more Huskies than Raptors if you go outside. So to me... The Toronto Huskies makes a lot more sense than the Toronto Raptors. Now, I may be off base. I don't really walk through the wilderness of Ontario. I have been to Ontario many times, and I love it. I've been to Guelph,
awesome.
Ontario. I've been to Kitchener, Ontario. I've been to Toronto. I love Toronto. But I bet you if you go out and, you know, you walk through the snow, you're probably going to find a Husky before you find a Raptor.
Dang right about that.
Correct?
I would say Raptors are extinct, Grant. Yeah. You think?
Hey, I'm just putting it out there. I'm thinking a Husky is probably going to cross your path before a Raptor.
You're a piece of work, man. It's 5:55, time for RC Country Hobbies, more than toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the family, 611 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
How about Chris, 46-47? I mean, how about that reference?
Hey, spot on.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
Where was that resting in your data bank, Chris?
Man, that's
Verlag?
Incredible.
Huh? Did because you couldn't have looked it up,
yeah,
my
he couldn't
friend.
Tell us who's pitching for the United States tonight, but he knows that the Huskies were from 46 and 47.
Holy
but
he, moly.
But we don't know who's pitching in the semifinal of the freaking World Baseball Classic. But, oh, the Huskies? Oh, yeah, that's 46-47.
Random.
You know what I'm saying?
Random Verlag knowledge.
Next, you're
going to
tell us what year the Raptors became extinct on the planet.
Good luck with that one.
Good luck is right. We'll be right back. Final hour right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.